This is Jordan Secchio. Today on Jay Secchio Live, Adam Schiff continues to mislead the public. Reaction from a member of President Trump's legal team.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live.
I do think we have to be very cautious when we talk about what the standard is. I think that there is a lot to be outraged about. You certainly don't need a crime for impeachment, but you do need clarity.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The question is this really an impeachable offense? And how do you distinguish what the president did here with what presidents do in conversations with heads of states?
And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
What you just heard, that was on CBS, right? It's on CBS News, broadcast news yesterday. Jonathan Turley, George Washington University professor. Sometimes I agree with him, sometimes don't. So again, not a totally partisan guy. He's kind of just calls it like he sees it. I don't always agree with his constitutional analysis, but he's certainly respected from both sides of the aisle. And when he said, can we play it for everybody again? I mean, we played it in the open, but I want you to listen closely to his kind of reaction to what the Democrats and Adam Schiff are trying to pull on the American people. Take a listen.
I do think we have to be very cautious when we talk about what the standard is. I think that there is a lot to be outraged about. You certainly don't need a crime for impeachment, but you do need clarity. And they're proceeding on the narrowest basis for impeachment in the history of this country. We've never gone up with an impeachment just on abuse of power linked to a single controversy like this. That is a very slender basis. And I'm not too sure they gained a lot of ground on impeachment, as opposed to all of this does not seem right to many of us. There's a lot here that makes us all upset. Mm-hmm. But the question is this really an impeachable offense? And how do you distinguish what the president did here with what presidents do in conversations with heads of states?
Understand that the narrowest basis for impeachment in the history of this country. He's been involved as a lead prosecutor of an impeachment when he said that in one of the more narrow ones as well, you could impeach President Clinton, you could vote to impeach President Clinton on the basis that he lied under oath, that was enough, lying under oath, a actual criminal act that you could point to, easily understandable, he lied under oath. It wasn't about the bad actions he took. It wasn't about Monica Lewinsky. It was about lying under oath about it. And that's why he said you could move forward with that impeachment. Even that was narrow. He's calling this one narrower because you can't point to a crime, even though you don't have to point to a crime. Certainly makes it easier for the American people to understand if you can actually point to a real crime that makes sense to people. And that, again, you don't take down a duly elected president for a single, even if you believe this was an abuse of power. So for all of you out there listening who may disagree with the president's phone call, and if you agree, if you take for everything the Democrats are alleging, as an abuse of power, that no one has ever brought up an impeachment on a single abuse of power from a single kind of act, like a phone call. And if we go down this route, guess who should have been impeached? President Obama for the targeting of the IRS, because that had a direct effect on U.S. elections. Eric Holder and Obama for Fast and Furious, because one of our border agents was killed in that gun-running scheme. How about the pallets of cash sent to Iran, the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world? Can you impeach then the president over that because you disagree strongly with that policy? Is that an abuse of power then that you strongly disagree with? You could keep going down the list. People like Loretta Lynch, who didn't recuse herself after that tarmac meeting with Jim Comey. You can impeach those kind of officials too. I mean, the list goes on and on if we allow impeachment to become policy-based. We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. What was your reaction to yesterday? What are you hearing from friends, families, and family members and colleagues as well? Those who support the president, those who don't support the president. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. There's an active shooting out in California right now, about 40 miles, I think, north of Los Angeles at a school shooting. Still looking for the suspect. People have been injured, a couple critical. We'll update you if there's anything new to that story. But if you're in that area, we have a lot of listeners in that area. You might want to tune into your local radio stations to get updates if you're in that Santa Clarita area in California. We'll be right back. Remember, the matching challenge, whatever you donate to the ACLJ, effectively doubled. Donate today in the month of November, ACLJ.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Play this flashback for you, because again, if we're setting the standard for impeachment, as Jonathan Turley said, for a single, if you believe it, if you take the Democrats at their word, a single abuse of power and a single act, which was a phone call and a slight delay in funds being released for the first time ever, then you could impeach the president. You should have impeached President Obama on Fast and Furious and on the IRS targeting, certainly Eric Holder as well. And then you certainly would have impeached President Obama after this sound, which he didn't know his microphone was on. But it wasn't a leak. He just didn't know his microphone was on. That was bad staffing from his team. When he was talking to the then president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, during that short time period where Putin became like prime minister and Medvedev became president so that Putin could come back in. Take a listen to what he said to Medvedev right before we were in an election year. Take a listen.
My last election. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility.
I transmit this information to Vladimir and Medvedev.
So he's telling the head of Russia, hey, this is my last election. So after my election, I'm going to win, which he was, he did win. I'm going to have a lot more flexibility when it comes to Russia. And Medvedev responds, I understand. I will transmit this info back to Vladimir. You know, when Nancy Pelosi said all roads lead to Putin? Yeah, under the Obama administration, who let Putin annex Crimea, who didn't fund Ukrainians with military aid to fight back against Russian aggression. And by the way, just from that statement alone, could you not, Weston, if you're going to impeach over phone calls, you can impeach over that?
Oh, absolutely. And not only that.
Because I strongly disagree with the policy there.
Yeah. Not only that, the whistleblower, when all this started happening a couple months ago, said that the reason he became the whistleblower, his concern because of President Trump's phone call and the implications for national security. When Obama made that statement to the Russian president, what they were discussing was missile defense in Europe. That is truly a national security issue. A phone call to the Ukrainian president was not.
I mean, this is Pelosi today with that all roads lead to Putin. It's like she has selective memory about why Ukrainians were being killed by Russians, because the U.S. wasn't giving them lethal aid under the Obama administration. It was the Trump administration who delivered that. Both ambassadors confirmed that yesterday in their testimony, and they supported that move by the Trump administration. They've been asking for it and begging for it for years to help the Ukrainians fight back against this violent Russian aggression. The annexation of Crimea occurred without any real response from the Trump administration. And yet Nancy Pelosi says this again today, Byte 63.
This had a story, a narrative about the president threatening to grant or withhold certain privileges, certain military assistance voted on by the Congress to Ukraine, which is in our national interest to do so because they were fighting the Russians. They've already lost over 11,000, 12,000, 13,000 people fighting the Russians. That's why I say all roads lead to Putin.
Yeah, but all roads lead to Putin and Obama, because the reason those 11, 12, 13,000 were killed fighting the Russians is because they were fighting with blankets.
The Obama administration absolutely categorically refused to give the Ukrainians any lethal weapons, not even defensive lethal weapons. Under President Trump, they've been given the Javelin anti-tank missiles. They've been given armored vehicles. They've also been given heavy weaponry, heavy machine guns and ammunition. Under Obama, they received meals ready to eat, sleeping bags, those kinds of things. Absolutely no offensive or defensive weapons. That narrative is just so misleading and disingenuous.
So, I mean, I want to go to Than Bent on this. Than, I'm saying this to say we tampered down those responses. You know, we said you could strongly disagree with the president. It doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. But if this is what the standard that Democrats want to set, bring it on. Because the next time there's a Democrat president, oh, man, they are always caught up in questionable activity that at least half the country doesn't like. So if the House is Republican at that point, they better be careful, because then we're going to get into this world of, which is not good for anybody. We don't want this to happen. But that's what they're setting up, impeaching their presidents too, for no good reason. Unless, before we go to Than, unless this is all just a show. Because Nancy Pelosi, in this very tough press conference, hedged a couple of different ways about whether they'll even vote on impeachment. Take a listen. And she even admitted that they don't have the kind of support like they did for Watergate, the 70%, and they won't ever get there, which, by the way, is the kind of support you need for to get 2/3 of the senators. That's about, you know, 70%. So if you know you're not going to get that, why are you wasting our time with this? You're just trying to hurt the president. You're trying to hurt your political opponents. You're interfering in the U.S. elections by using your official office. But take a listen to Pelosi.
Yes. Should we be looking at an article of impeachment?
Well, I don't know about that. We don't even haven't even made a decision to impeach. That's what the inquiry is about. And when the committees decide that, and they will decide what the articles are. But I am saying that what is the president has admitted to and says it's perfect, I said it's perfectly wrong. It's bribery.
Now, Than, if it's bribery, which is in the Constitution as an impeachable offense, then why is she not ready to drop the articles of impeachment? If she honestly believes that, she should be ready to go. I mean, the judiciary, they don't even need the hearings next week. It's more, again, more people have already testified, and we have their transcripts, and again, you know, hours and hours. Just go right to the Judiciary Committee, draw up the article, because that's one that's clear, right? So if you actually believe it, let's have a vote on it. What I'm hearing is that she doesn't have the votes yet from her own caucus to impeach the president. And she may have to do a lot of dragging to get enough votes. And it may not be like every Democrat votes to impeach. A lot of them, but all but two, voted to open an inquiry. That's a lot different of a vote than to actually vote to impeach. And then they know it goes to Republicans, who can ultimately, I mean, what did their ultimate end goal here, Than, is Republicans saying not guilty? I mean, is that the message they want right before the election? The president is completely exonerated. So I still feel like, yes, they're going to have this vote because of their far left. But at the same time, if they do, they're in serious trouble with how this is going to turn out.
You know, Jordan, we've said from the very beginning that this is a political process. And I can translate the first line of that response from Speaker Pelosi pretty directly for you. She said, when asked, will you be looking at an article of impeachment? She said, I don't know about that. Jordan, the translation is, I don't have the votes yet. And look, let me just tell you, this is brass politics, but I can give you the political numbers here. The Democrats have 233 seats in the United States House, which means if everybody shows up, they can only afford to lose 15 of those Democrats. Now, if there's a slightly lower number, maybe they can lose up to 18, but somewhere in that range, Jordan, 15 to 18 votes. Jordan, there are 31 Democrats that currently represent districts that voted to send President Trump to the White House. Jordan, eight of those seats, eight, they elected President Trump by 10% or more. If all of those eight decline to vote for articles of impeachment, Republicans are halfway there to denying Speaker Pelosi the invoking of those articles of impeachment. So this is a political exercise at its base. And Jordan, they have to get quite a number of Democrats who represents districts that voted to send President Trump to the White House. So her answer there, Jordan, you can translate it fairly. I don't know about that means I don't yet have the votes.
Stan, I hope they do force the votes, and I hope most of those 31 do, because I think Nancy Pelosi is then risking, in a year where it probably wasn't being risked. And I even wrote the book, The Next Red Wave, and I said we should build on the Republican numbers in the House, but really look forward to the next midterm election to actually retake it because of how tough it would be electorally. I think she'd be giving Republicans a clear door, if they've got time to organize, to actually take her speakership away. If she pulls these 31 and basically forces it to be every Democrat or else you're ostracized kind of vote.
I can tell you for a fact, Jordan, she's hearing that from her caucus right now, because look, as far as political viability, it's not Speaker Pelosi's seat that's vulnerable. It's not Adam Schiff's seats that's vulnerable. Of course, her ascension or holding on to power as Speaker might be vulnerable, but it's people like Jared Golden and Andy Kim and Max Rose and Kendra Horn. Jordan, those are the people who are going to have to walk the plank for Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Schiff. It's not them who will be on the lines, but she is making decisions that affect their political career. And I can tell you behind the scenes inside that caucus right now, a huge number on that list wish it had never gotten to this place. And don't be surprised if they start joining the ranks of Colin Peterson and Jeff Van Drew, who have already broken ranks with her on that initial vote.
So we already played you, it was Jeffrey Toobin on, it was ABC, CBS. It was Jonathan Turley criticizing the Democrats' move. We come back, Jeffrey Toobin, CNN's chief legal political analyst, not a fan of the president, not a fan either of what the Democrats did yesterday and their two witnesses. And we'll play that. You don't often hear us playing CNN in support of, but at least he's being fair and honest that time. Even a former Mueller prosecutor, Andrew Weissman, has criticized the Democrat strategy here. We'll play that for you. This was the bulldog of Mueller. That didn't help the Democrats very well at all. Now, he's an NBC legal analyst, but he criticized the Democrats as well. So, again, a lot of spin to get through, but let's hear from people who don't agree, you know, with the president. And even, but our legal attorneys saying how wrong the Democrats are to be doing this and how bad it is going, not just the optics, but legally and even constitutionally. We'll be right back on JCEQO Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. online at aclj.org.
We're going to start taking some phone calls, but I want to play for you right before we go into that a couple more legal analysts, not from Fox News, not from the president's legal team or the ACLJ. Not my good friend, Greg Jarrett. This is Jeffrey Toobin on CNN yesterday. His immediate reaction, Byte 44.
The one criticism of these two witnesses, which I think is very much legitimate, it's not really a criticism, it's just a factual statement, is that neither of them had direct contact with the president.
Ever.
Ever. And, yeah. And you know, that's a problem if you're going to impeach the president.
Yeah, it is a problem. No contact ever. Like, not a phone call, not a handshake. I don't even know if they've been in a photo line with the president of the United States. I mean, literally, I can tell you there's a lot of people in the country the president has met who he doesn't know, and these guys are testifying to bring him down, though they say, oh, well, we're not the star witnesses in the impeachment. You took on the role, Taylor. You took on the role, Kent. You decided to go along with a subpoena, unlike some of your other colleagues, or fight it out in court, even though you had your attorney sitting there next to you who could have done that for you, and you got chosen to be the first two by Adam Schiff. You were the star witnesses, whether you liked it or not, to bring down a president of the United States who was duly elected. And you hear, then, you've had no contact at all. So not only did you only find about this phone call through hearsay by hearsay by hearsay, I mean, as Jim Jordan says, six people, four conversations in one sentence, in a corrected testimony, and that's where you got, you know, absolutely certain about your position that this was conditioned on an investigation of not just corruption in Ukraine, but an investigation of Joe Biden for political purposes. I mean, you have to take that jump too, because I mean, for even to be an issue, it'd have to be for political purposes. I think you could absolutely investigate Biden and his son, and it has nothing to do with Joe Biden running for president because of the corruption in Ukraine that is so rampant that every administration has acknowledged, that both those ambassadors have acknowledged, and especially with the company that Hunter Biden was on the board with. So you could certainly investigate it and have it nothing to do with a presidential election, which, by the way, Joe Biden is just one of many candidates who is you know, there's other candidates jumping in as of today. I mean, again, it's absurd. That narrative may have worked when, like, Joe Biden was, like, the only one they thought. It doesn't really work when he's, like, trailing now in polls. And it just seems absurd, but you've got CNN with Toobin. You got CBS with Jonathan Turley, criticizing the Democrats. We've got Weissman as well. He's on NBC. Now, let me tell you who Andrew Weissman is, and then we'll get to your phone call. Andrew Weissman was Bob Mueller's top prosecutor. He was at Hillary Clinton's election night, what turned out to not be a victory party, at the Javits Center when she wanted to shatter that glass ceiling. So he was a strong Clinton supporter, donated to the Clinton campaign. He was a member of the, you know, the witch hunters, if you will. He's been on both sides. He's been a prosecutor, defense attorney. I disagree with a lot of his tactics. The reason why is because he gets a lot of convictions in district court and they get overturned because of bad practices that he takes. He's a very aggressive prosecutor, to say the least. Now, they bring him in at NBC. I'm sure they thought he'd be pumping up the Democrats, right? I mean, he's a partisan guy. And the Mueller thing didn't work, so he's trying to, you know, save himself, say, okay, here we go, something a little bit easier for people to digest. That's what he said. Right now, and you'll take a listen to it, hear it in his own words, there's no way an average person watching this could digest what crime or what impeachable offense the Democrats are trying to get at, whether you like the president or don't, or whether you like the policies of the president or don't. Take a listen, Byte 59.
What would you have done that they didn't on that success?
So I agree with Carol that one of the key things is if you focus on Ukraine as the end and end all and be all, which of course these witnesses would, they're the State Department witnesses. They came off well. If I were in the State Department now, I'd be very, very proud of them. But that's not what the Democrats needed to do. The Democrats, I think, needed to focus on that this was about election interference in our election.
You mean like targeting of the IRS, by the IRS of Tea Party groups, which directly affected our elections? I mean, again, just think about to put that into context. But the idea, again, that when I look at the witness list, Wes, I mean, tomorrow, and we're going to get into the second half hour, you know, who's testifying tomorrow. It's only one more witness tomorrow, and then there'll be eight next week so far that have been released. This is the former ambassador to Ukraine. She got she will be testifying. She was actually removed from her position, still works at the State Department. Before the way before the phone call, 2 months before the phone call, she's a disgruntled employee again. But I look at what he says, and yet all they are doing, when I look at their witness list, is bringing in Ukraine.
Yeah. And this has been a flawed and, you know, not credible process from the get-go. It all started, as you recall, with the secret hearings, and then they would selectively leak to the impeachment media what they wanted to. This is not a search for truth, Jordan. It's a foregone conclusion. It's like they're saying, okay, we know the verdict. It's guilty. Now let's have some hearings and a trial. I mean, it's just, it is incredible on the face of it. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, it's absurd. Let me try to take one, at least one phone call. People have been holding on. Let's go to John in Texas. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Real quick, literally hundreds of people on blogs are debating these two questions, and I hope you might be able to answer them.
I think we can.
The first one is, if impeachment moves to the Senate trial, do the president's lawyers have full control and authority to subpoena and question any witness they choose? And the second question is, will the federal rules of evidence be applicable for this trial?
Okay, the federal rules of evidence will probably not be applicable, though the rules will be set then by Mitch McConnell, the Republican leadership. So they could take aspects of the federal rules. The Chief Justice oversees the trial, but it is not a normal trial in the sense of the for federal rules of civil procedure. They could certainly allow and grant that access, I think they will, to confront the witnesses against you, those who have accused you of things. So the president's legal counsel, whether it's the White House counsel or the legal team during the trial, should be able to request witnesses that be subpoenaed by the Senate to come and testify, including, by the way, if it goes to a trial, Than, the whistleblower themselves.
Yeah, and I'm confident that authority will be there. Look, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, will be calling balls and strikes and ruling on motions and things of that nature. But many of these procedures, Jordan, are going to be ironed out by Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, the party leaders inside the Senate. And there's really already a pretty robust framework that I think they will draw from, one that was used before and one in which the attorneys for the presidents, Jordan, did have the kind of power that the caller is talking about. So it'll really be the first time during this entire process that those rights have been there.
Yes, because what I'm expecting, folks, is, you know, the president's due process rights don't kick in until this gets to the House Judiciary Committee. And we're hearing more and more that the House Judiciary Committee may not have any hearings. So there may, I mean, maybe they will, and maybe there'll be people to cross-examine for the House, for president's legal team or the White House counsel legal team. But we're hearing that they may not have any hearings. They may just draw up the articles of impeachment. So that may be the first time there's a role. If the House actually has the votes to impeach, and if they even do impeach, or do they want to think about this as we go into this first break into our next half hour? Do they want to just hang this out there and see if it'll hurt the president more by just hanging it out there? I think that backfires, by the way, if they don't actually have the guts to vote. But do they want it to just hang out there through the election process and let whoever the Democrat nominee becomes use it as a political tool rather than have the Senate Republicans completely exonerate the president? Remember our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The question is this really an impeachable offense? And how do you distinguish what the president did here with what presidents do in conversations with heads of states?
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we've played for you three legal analysts, some who lean more to the right. I'd say Turley from George Washington University leans a little bit more to the right, but certainly is not like some huge fan of the president. He's said he's not defending the president's actions. He's just saying that they're not impeachable. And it's actually the narrowest grounds of an impeachment ever, which means that, you know, the House probably crumbles. Then CBS, they bring CNN brings on Jeff Toobin, a regular critic of the president and his legal strategy, except for the fact that I think he did admit, you know, when it came to Mueller, the president's legal team handled that right. That was a complete disaster for Democrats. Which, by the way, you know, don't just take that first day of hearings. They could still be on a path to disaster hearings because they could be really driving the American people nuts by next week. When then, how many more days? I mean, because we got tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We're going to get into who that will be. It's the former ambassador to Ukraine. She was removed from her position, recalled is the official word, in May. She didn't like that, but she had nothing to do with this phone call.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing
so
to do
with the
phone call.
So she's the only one tomorrow. And then we have nine more next week? Eight more.
Eight more next week, nine more total to go for a total of 11. I mean, the only point I would make about Ambassador Yovanovitch tomorrow is you're going to see someone that, you know, has had a distinguished career in foreign service, but Jordan never been elected to public office. Right. So you talk about a right to make a public policy decision. She will have none. Just looking forward to next week, Jordan, you're going to have five different hearings over 3 days and eight witnesses. And I will remind you, not a single one who was first called by Republicans. Chairmanship's going to grant three off the Republican list, but all of them were witnesses that he called first. So all 11 witnesses, Jordan, none of them were ones put forward first by Republicans.
Listen to why a PBS analyst, also a liberal, on MSNBC says why do they want this ambassador who had nothing to do with the phone call? Yes, she was angry she was removed, but she was put in that place by Obama. She was going to ultimately be removed. It's too important of a country. You know, her previous ambassadorships were, I think, Kyrgyzstan and Armenia. I mean, I'm not trying to play down either of those countries, but certainly not at the level of Ukraine when you're dealing with the Russia situation that the U.S. has been because of the lack of dealing with it by the Obama administration. So, and the new aggressive Russia that we're seeing, like, in the Middle East. So, you know, you'd put in place, ultimately, somebody who agrees with your policy. By that, I don't think that's going to be Bill Taylor either long term after yesterday's hearing. But listen to why this is Democrats admitting to you on MSNBC why they're going to call her to testify tomorrow. Prepare yourself because it's going to get weepy. Bite 58.
They want Marie Yovanovitch to be there because I'm told she cried during her deposition. So she's really someone there to be emotional so that people can feel sympathetic and see that they were actual victims in the U.S. government to President Trump's policies and to President Trump trying to get Ukraine to investigate the Bidens and the Democrats.
Victims?
Yeah.
She still works for the State Department. She's still probably at the highest level you can get paid at the State Department. She's still getting paid by all of us. She's a diplomat in residence at the Institute for the Study of Diplomacy at Georgetown. After being ambassador to Ukraine, she's had these other positions before. She's worked for other administrations and she's been moved around a lot. She just doesn't like the drain the swamp guy. And yet this, we're going to start, what, this is the person we're supposed to feel sympathetic for, a highly paid, distinguished diplomat who is now a disgruntled employee. I mean, I think I'm more angry at her for taking down the position of most foreign service members.
Yeah, and here again, it goes back to policy disagreements. And like Than just said a moment ago, you know, people in her position, people in the National Security Council, all these bureaucrats, they don't get to set policy. Policy is always set by whoever the president has to be. Their job is to implement the policy or, if they have integrity, to resign and simply not happen. I think it's interesting that Schiff is not allowing some of the Republican witnesses to come in, especially Alexandra Kalupa, who knows the whistleblower. She wants to testify and Schiff won't let her.
Yeah, she's a DNC staffer. She wants to testify. She has to clear her name. Folks, we have a matching challenge. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ, effectively doubled. It's a great time to donate. And I'll tell you why. A couple big cases coming up. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Some more of your phone calls now. I know phone lines are full. We got another segment coming up where we take that's what we do, is we take phone calls. But I want to get people prepared for tomorrow and cover as much as we could of what we were already off the air yesterday from the hearing, because there's so much spin out there. I mean, you know, I was reading Politico. It was a horrible day for the president. Why? I mean, what, we all knew this already. I mean, everything was already out there. In fact, the top analyst who don't have a dog in this fight, who came out and spoke, said it wasn't good for Democrats. Tubin, Turley, Weissman from the Mueller team, that the Democrats were using the wrong strategy. The Republicans were right, that these guys have had no contact at all with the president. I mean, it was kind of demeaning to those ambassadors who have given their life to this service, but I think it had to be brought out that they've never even spoken to. They've never been in a meeting with the president. I mean, you think about how many people, the president talks about that all the time, that come through, whether it's the White House or while he's on the campaign trail, they can say they met the president or spoken to the president. And yet these guys haven't, but they're the top two witnesses to bring him down. It's worth noting. Now, I want to note this as well. We do digging at the JSEC ULI broadcast. We've actually brought in new team members to assist with that as well. This is from a New Yorker piece, okay? This is not a conservative publication. Back in, this was December 7th, 2016. So it was about Obama, and the headline is, Obama leaves Trump a mixed legacy on whistleblowers. Listen to the New Yorker. Back in 2008, Senator Barack Obama promised that if elected, he would run the most transparent administration in history. It would champion the cause of whistleblowers. He actually, you know, mentioned whistleblowers specifically. Such acts of courage and patriotism should be encouraged rather than stifled, Obama said of whistleblowers during his campaign. 8 years later, so after President Obama's term is over, these words ring hollow to admirers of dissenters such as Edward Snowden and Thomas Drake, two of eight national security, quote, leakers who have been charged with violating the 1917 Espionage Act during Obama's presidency. But it gets even better. This is the New Yorker in 2016, the end of the Obama presidency, talking about how he's left this really bad legacy on how to treat whistleblowers to the Trump administration. So, again, listen to this one. Obama's Justice Department has prosecuted more such cases against whistleblowers than all previous administrations combined. They've actually prosecuted cases against whistleblowers, not just unmasked the whistleblowers, which, by the way, this whistleblower will be fully unmasked if it gets to a Senate trial because they will get called to testify. But not prosecuted. Let me read that again. The Obama Justice Department prosecuted more such cases against whistleblowers than all previous administrations combined, setting a precedent that some fear Donald Trump will invoke and drastically build upon to further muzzle dissent. Than, to your knowledge, has Donald Trump brought any criminal action against any whistleblowers? I know he doesn't like these whistleblowers. He would like to confront them and have his attorneys confront them. And there is question about whether this whistleblower is even legitimate based off the statute. But Trump administration cracking down on whistleblowing?
No, Jordan. And it's pretty ironic there that the conclusion of that piece is that all of the mistakes that President Obama made in this era are now President Trump's fault, and they're afraid that he's the one that's going to abuse them. In fact, I would just tell you, it wasn't that long ago that President Trump signed the VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act for that particular agency, Jordan, to expand those protections. So, look, it's just another example of a double standard, and it goes back to the sound you played very early in the broadcast of, if this situation for President Trump is a problem, then how about President Obama telling Vladimir Putin's own government, Jordan, that he's got to get elected first so that he can be stronger to go ahead and alter foreign policy. It's a double standard on both issues, Jordan.
I mean, they go on to say in the New Yorker, this is a legitimate concern. The zealous prosecution of national security whistleblowers is a stain on Obama's legacy. And the only thing President Trump wants is to hear from his accuser. Not zealously prosecute them, but to hear from this accuser. Because Bill Taylor didn't blow the whistle on this. George Kent didn't blow the whistle on this. In fact, anyone that you're going to hear from over the next tomorrow and then next week, none of them said, I'm blowing the whistle on this. I'm filing some complaint. Some quit. I think one quit, Fiona Hill. She's the only person that quit. Everybody else is still getting paid by the U.S. government. They just don't like the policy. They didn't feel like it rise to the level of conduct that they needed to even report as serious enough that it was criminal. But yet the president of the United States was zealously prosecuting national security whistleblowers. And the New Yorker, of all places, called it a stain on the legacy of President Obama, which, by the way, is also a stain on the legacy of guess who? Vice President Joe Biden. Wait, by saying that, am I now interfering with U.S. elections? And oh my, the president can't say that? I mean, I wish I could get this to the president now. He should just read it. I mean, this is what we should all be going on TV and just reading this from the New Yorker from now on. Because this just tells you everything right there. It's a great find by our team. Let's get right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Scott in Colorado online too. You've been holding on. We'll get you a copy of my book, The Next Red Wave, which says, and you can buy the book at thenextredwave.com. It's in bookstores, and it predicts. It predicted that the deep state would keep coming. Obviously, they did, and that they will keep coming throughout the election and maybe even after the election. So, Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Okay, Jordan, thanks for my call. Yeah, I was going to touch on a point you made a little earlier. You know, Dems like Jim Himes from Connecticut are assuming that they know the motive of Trump policy towards Ukraine was political. But we know what we know about Biden, which was still a core issue here. I think it would be impeachable if he wasn't investigated. And just because he was a high-ranking official doesn't mean he's immune. And even if he was not running for president, his corruption, I think, was still worthy of investigation. And that's what Trump was elected for, to root out deep state corruption, wherever it is, foreign or domestic.
Listen, I absolutely agree. I mean, I think this is why people voted in President Trump, is they wanted a president who would do things differently. They wanted a president who would drain the swamp. Swamp sometimes includes the deep state actors. It also includes the longtime Washington, D.C. bureaucrats and the people like Joe Biden, whose kids get all these board seats with having no expertise both in China and in corrupt companies. I mean, George Kent testified yesterday. This was the Democrats' witness. That he called off a U.S. aid program with the company that Joe Biden's son was sitting on the board of because it was so corrupt and they were still trying to recover illegally stolen assets alongside their European counterparts. And Joe Biden now gets cover from that because he's put himself back in the spotlight and run for president. See, I think it should be the opposite. You decide to put yourself back in the spotlight and run for president, and guess what? People should know the truth. Whether you are Joe Biden running for president, whether you are Barack Obama, a former president, or Eric Holder, a former AG, people should know the truth. If you abused your power to the point of it being potentially illegal, and we can at least get to the, especially when you know these businesses are corrupt. I mean, that's why this whole impeachment, I think it's built on not even a house of cards. It's built on a tiny little block, and you can see all these different people talking. In fact, you know, let's play it for people. This is a reporter. She has a fair question to Nancy Pelosi. Why aren't you waiting, if you're so serious about this, to get the judge's opinion? We'll play it when we come back. The reporter asked Nancy Pelosi, why aren't you waiting for the judge to rule on whether John Bolton can testify and whether Mick Mulvaney has to testify and all of this and can you force the subpoenas? Why not wait? Because then they can't use the hearsay argument. What's the issue here? Of course, the issue is, of course, political expediency. We'll play that for you when we come back. Wall Street Journal has some great language as well. Jim Jordan, I think, kind of breaks down why Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to wait for that. But let me encourage you right now. As we speak, the ACLJ legal team has been representing one of the former board members of the Center for Medical Progress that put out those videos exposing those disgusting sale of fetal body parts by Planned Parenthood. The trial is over. The argument is over. The jury is deliberating as we speak. We could get a verdict as early as today, tomorrow. Usually they like to try and do it before the weekends if they can, the juries. But it could go into next week. So pray for that. But know that case has now come to that jury verdict. It's not over, by the way. This is the trial court stage. There's appeals that can be made. And remember the ICC case defending the interest of our U.S. troops. That's coming up December 4th, 5th, and 6th in The Hague. My dad will be taking a center stage role in that, presenting oral arguments to their highest courts, defending our armed forces against ICC prosecution and investigation. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to take the final three calls of the day. Dave, Beth, and Christy, you're coming up. I want to play this first, as I was teasing. Nancy Pelosi, let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ before we get back into impeachment again. And we certainly will be on tomorrow's broadcast. I know I might be on Sean Hannity's television broadcast tonight, depending on how long President Trump's rally goes in Louisiana and if that cuts into his show. So might be on that. I'll let you know later today. I'm on Fox and Friends at 7 a.m. I think it's 7 a.m. Eastern time, or it's about 7:20 a.m. So between 7 and 7:20 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, right before these hearings begin, the next round of hearings with the former ambassador to the Ukraine, who was not fired from her State Department, but just recalled. She still has her getting paid by all of us, but she was crying, so they want to bring in the closed door session. So they want to bring her in, I guess, to cry to the American people to show that it's harmed people, his policies. Yeah, presidents make decisions that some people don't like in the government, but we like presidents to make those decisions. Presidents have to decide to send people to war. People die in wars. Family members then cry. I mean, these are tough decisions presidents have to make. I mean, so it's just absurd. But let me first encourage you, let me remind you about our matching challenge for the month of November. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled. We have a team of donors who have said, we will match every donation that comes in to the ACLJ in the month of November. But for them to match, you've got to make the initial donation. So for how many donations are matched, it all depends on you. Now, that means that if you donate $10 right now to the ACLJ online at aclj.org, that's effectively becoming $20 to ACLJ, but all your charge is $10. If you donated $50, that all your charge is $50, but it's like $100 to the ACLJ. It all goes up from there. Small donations matter. We're very much like a campaign in that sense. Our average donation being somewhere between $35 and $45. We obviously have people who give a lot more, people who give less, people who give monthly, people who give kind of yearly. But if you've thought about donating, this is a great time because you're doubling the impact. If you are a regular donor, double the impact of your donation this month. And if you are someone who signed up for automatic donations each month, you will be part of the matching challenge. So your donation this month will be effectively doubled. So thank you for that. Again, we've got the case at the ICC, December 4th, 5th, and 6th. We'll be talking about that more as well when my dad returns. We've also got Planned Parenthood. The closing arguments are done on the Center for Medical Progress. We represent one of the former board members there that they're trying to go after in the Northern District in California. The jury is deliberating right now on whether our clients will be found guilty, not Planned Parenthood, for their potentially illegal sale of aborted babies' body parts. So pray for that jury, pray for our clients there, and know that that's not the end of the trial anyways. I mean, there will be appeals for lots of different purposes, but a big trial coming to a close, 4 years in the trial courts. Now it would go to the quicker process of the appellate court stages. I'm sure either side will make appeals. We also, the president's legal team, is about to file the first case to the U.S. Supreme Court, asking the Supreme Court to review the case that involves these inquiries. It's the tax returns coming out of New York with Cy Vance, the state district attorney in New York, and again, this is the president's legal team. So I'm on this brief. My dad, of course, taking the lead on this brief. Will Consovoy, Stuart Roth from our team, and others will be on this brief. That will be filed very shortly. That's why my dad is not on the broadcast today. It is the first case being filed to the U.S. Supreme Court that relates to this inquiry. And because some of us who are with the ACLJ, we also serve separately on the president's legal team. This is the first case at the U.S. Supreme Court that they could grant oral argument on. And I, you know, because this involves the release potentially of the president's tax returns and who can request them and for what purpose. So that will be filed today as well. So be part of our matching challenge, folks. Donate to the ACLJ. Can you think of a group involved in more things? The ICC going after our armed forces, protecting us, the Center for Medical Progress, former board members from massive civil lawsuits. I mean, just that would bankrupt them completely. And that's because they exposed Planned Parenthood just like 2020 did back in the 90s. That's why you donate to the ACLJ right now, especially in a matching challenge month, where whatever you donate is effectively doubled at ACLJ.org. Let me go to the phones. Dave in California on line four. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We'll send you the next red wave.
Adam Schiff claims he doesn't know the identity of the whistleblower. Well, so how can Adam Schiff prevent the whistleblower?
He lied again. Dave, we're going to get you the next red wave. Adam Schiff lied again. I'm not even going to play it again. He absolutely, in those closed hearings, kept making sure that name didn't come up. So he knows the name. Everyone knows the name now. And by the way, if this gets to the Senate, that whistleblower will be called to testify, subpoenaed to testify. And if they don't, they'll be in contempt of Congress during an impeachment, which could be serious for them if they don't show up. And by the way, the whistleblower's attorney also exposed their name. Mark Zed put out a retweet with the whistleblower's name in it. So this is all just, it's Adam Schiff was speaking to a new audience yesterday. The American people who don't tune in to our radio show or to cable news and don't follow things closely. So he thought he could get away with it. And again, he lied. He lied because his staff was directly working with him too. And Yovanovitch, who is testifying tomorrow, Than, is also one, quickly, who was caught up in a lie in her testimony when she was deposed by Lee Zeldin. She lied about her contact with House Democrat staffers. So I expect that to be brought up tomorrow.
This issue is going to come up tomorrow, Jordan, with both of these individuals, because Chairman Schiff has repeatedly lied about the contact she had prior to filing for both of these individuals. I suspect Ambassador Yovanovitch will be asked personally about it. And in the context of that question, Jordan, he ought to be asked about the whistleblower as well, because in both cases, the description of that contact was, let's put it this way, Jordan, it has varied, so not every description of it can be true.
All right, let's go right to our final call of the day. Krista in California, you got about 40 seconds. Krista, thanks for holding on. We're going to get you two books. The Next Red Wave, signed by me, and Jerusalem, signed by my dad. Thank you, Krista.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. Please excuse my voice. I'm fighting a cold.
Got
it. My question is regarding the sound you played earlier of Obama talking to the then leader of Russia.
Yeah, well, yep.
And what ultimately followed after in his decision not to provide aid to Crimea to defend themselves against Russia seems clearly like collusion and irrefutable proof of Obama colluding with Russia.
Well, it's a foreign policy decision by him. Right. And if foreign policy decisions, well, because not colluding in like election interference, it was a foreign policy decision that a lot of us didn't like. Does that mean we get to impeach him? Well, based off the new standard, we would. That's why The Wall Street Journal put out this piece, The Banality of Impeachment. I will tweet it out because it is just, dead on this editorial about this. And we can go through it tomorrow on the broadcast as well. During the Yovanovitch testimony. But foreign policy is altered by elections, and you shouldn't be impeaching presidents because you don't like their foreign policy. There'll be a lot to talk about tomorrow. I'll let you know if I'll be on Hannity tonight. That Trump rally, if it takes over, great for the president. Let him speak to the people more. So that's wonderful. I know I'll be on Fox and Friends very early in the morning. We'll get that information to you as well. And then we'll be back on the air live to cover this second round of the public hearings tomorrow. Donate to the ACLJ matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.